This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Saturday sees Ipswich Town FC women make their league bow at Portman Road, and to mark this major milestone, I'm taking over the pre-match show and putting our resident women's football expert Rich on the spot to inform us all here on the Blue Monday podcast. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, discussing the town up or down since 2015. I'm Seb Brown and welcome to the pre-match show, usually live, but this week things are a little bit different, so we're doing a pre-record ahead of ITFC Women versus Chatham Town at Portman Road on Saturday. As always, we're brought to you in association partnership with our good friends at the Greyhound Pub in Ipswich, and joining me as usual, but you may notice a slight role reversal in where we're positioned on the screen, is my good friend Rich Woodward. And Rich, it's your turn to do the heavy lifting for a while. How are you?
I'm good, mate. This is really weird. I hope this is weird for everyone else watching and listening on podcast, as it is me just sitting here. I think I described it before as like when I posted Ben, like when your mate drives your car for you, get us on the insurance and drives your car. I was like, I shouldn't be in the passenger seat. This is weird. But yeah, I'm so buzzing for Saturday. I hope a lot of people are. And as always, mate, we're here to enlighten people, and there'll be a lot of people that supported the team from afar but don't really know too much about them, so I'm really excited to share some bits of insight to enable people to enjoy the game even more if they're going on Saturday. It'd be my pleasure to do so.
It's quite nice for a change. You're doing the heavy lifting and I can sort of sit here and just do what you do every Thursday at 8 p.m. and maybe click a couple of buttons and just sit.
Well, you're not even clicking buttons, are you?
You've ruined the facade. Well, yeah, I'm not. Rich said it's like watching somebody drive your car. This is like a driving lesson where the instructor has their kind of hands and their feet firmly on the pedals and the wheel to make sure we don't go too far astray. So we will try and keep it to the sort of semi-regular pre-match show format. Obviously, normally we do focus on the opposition and I'll sit here and tell you how many headed goals Exeter scored from an in-swinging corner. But this time what we'll do is we'll discuss Chatham a little bit, but the main body of this piece will be all about ITFC Women. Point of this, as always, is that if you're sitting there in the ground, maybe you're watching ITFC Women for the first time, you can just have a quick chat with people around you if need be and drop a moment of wisdom that Rich is going to impart on us all throughout this podcast. And as always, that's what we're here for. So we'll start with the news, because we normally do that on a pre-match show. So we'll continue the normal format. Sheffield Wednesday reaction for you, post kind of Leeds, obviously the euphoria, the 6-0. Did any of us really think that Millwall would do us a favour on Sunday? I didn't. I didn't even bother watching it. I watched the Liverpool-Man United game because I thought it would be a pretty comfortable Leeds victory. But here we sit, kind of what, 72 hours on from the Sheffield Wednesday game, 6-0, still buzzing?
Yeah, and I volunteered to watch the Leeds game with Ben on his live stream.
Of course, yeah.
On Sunday, so I got to see it firsthand, and there was a point in the second half where you thought Millwall might have played a blind here. They were totally under the cosh. Leeds should have been 2-3 up by the time Millwall made a quadruple, a kind of a McKenna-esque quadruple sub, but just couldn't make the territory that they started to get, convert that into meaningful chances. I don't think Leeds were brilliant. I guess they didn't have to be. And probably the narrative is kind of similar to the Sheffield Wednesday game in that you've got a team looking to get away from the bottom three. Millwall doing a much better job of it than Sheffield Wednesday, we need to add. And Leeds have just concertinaed up all of the teams in the top three, at least. We know Southampton a little bit further behind, games to play. But Leeds on top now, and on top by one goal, I think it is, isn't it? And it's really fascinating and really nicely poised. And Leicester obviously got dumped out of the FA Cup. No real shame losing to Chelsea, albeit a red card in there as well. So, but yeah, it's I think probably the reaction that we needed after Cardiff, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, totally agree with that. Are you glad there's a two-week break? Normally, I love the games coming thick and fast, but I'll be honest, I don't mind this kind of period of reflection before the busy Easter period. Are you not a fan of the international break, so to speak, but are you glad we've got a little bit of respite and, you know, we've got a couple of bodies who are maybe got injury doubts, so we can look to get them back on the grass, tick, before the games come thick and fast? Are you happy for the respite, or would you happily go again this weekend if it was on the table?
I mean, I hate international breaks generally. I'm not a big fan of international football. I'm kind of a fan of England when it comes to Panini stickers and football shirts, and we'll talk about football shirts in a second, won't we? But yeah, I'm just not a fan of international breaks during the season. I don't like that. I was going to say I don't see the point in international football, but obviously tournaments are great. But I just think it punctuates the program, and we're going to have 4 games in 2 weeks start
Easter, yeah.
And you kind of think, well, just drag Blackburn to this weekend maybe, but the flip side is that we get an ITFC Wimmer game at Portman Road. You know, it opens up the potential for that, and I know a lot of people listening will be maybe going to see non-league games as well and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, not a fan of it, Seb, but it is what it is, and that's the deal, isn't it? I mean, there's not much we can do about it, sadly.
No, very much so. I guess, like you say, it's a chance to reflect a little bit, hopefully get some of the injury doubts back in full training before Blackburn next week. One other piece of news that I have to ask you, because you and Joe are our resident kit aficionados, aren't you? It's been announced today that Castore have acquired Umbro. Apparently, it has no bearing on Ipswich Town. Our kits for next season have already been signed off. The statement says they are thrilled to announce they've completed a deal with Umbro licensee GL Denmark to sign an exclusive Umbro professional team sports sublicense. This sublicense allows us to market the Umbro brand in the UK, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Belgium, Netherlands, and Denmark. As far as we're aware, it's pretty much business as usual, certainly for next season, because that's the last of the 3-year deal, I believe, isn't it? And the suggestion is the kits have already been signed off. Do you think this is a pathway to a change maybe if later on down the line? And what's your general thoughts in general about Castore? I'm not a big kit person. I don't really know much about them. So anything you want to kind of bring up on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty impressed with what Umbro have done with us so far. Bespoke designs. I know this season's home kit in particular was a little bit, not Marmitey, but a few people didn't necessarily like the design too much. I know we kind of bitched a little bit about the sizings, but I think that's just because they're different to Adidas rather than being anything outlandish.
And to make us all feel better about buying like 2XLs and stuff.
Well, yeah, indeed. Yeah, absolutely right. By the way, buy goalkeeper kits from Umbro because they are sized much bigger. So, I can get an XL in the keeper kits, by the way. That's a bit of citizen's advice. I would imagine from a corporate perspective, you acquire a brand to not maintain that brand and continue it in parallel with another brand that you have. Either Umbro is going to be absorbed into, let me use a Star Trek word that you like. Umbro is going to be assimilated into Castore. It's unlikely to be the other way around, isn't it? And in terms of if then Castore become the kit manufacturer, and as you said, I think the deal ends 24-25. I mean, Castore are going to be in the driving seat in terms of the renegotiation with us. My issue is this season has been issues with Villa, isn't there, and the sweaty, wet look kit. But previously to that, I mean, they designed some decent kits. The UK-based company, which, you know, it's kind of good for the economy and all that kind of stuff, but really expensive kits, training wear, really expensive. So it is kind of a bit of a premium brand. So I guess wait and see. The good thing, as you say, is that everything that matters for next season is, you know, our Premier League kit is kind of locked in. Wink, wink, wink. But longer term, yeah, I'd be interested to see where we end up but it feels like Umbro isn't too long for this world as a brand if this deal is what I'm expecting to happen. So bit of a shame. I quite like Umbro, but I think it's like when all your good beer brands like get taken over by massive breweries. It's kind of not really the same, and this kind of feels like that situation, Seb.
Yeah, we shall see what comes of it. Hopefully we've got one more season of Umbro, and then we'll see what happens after that. Right, what we're going to do then is, so Rich has been working like a trooper for the last 3 days. Is it your third podcast in 2 days at the moment? Yeah, so yeah. Rich has done a pre-record with friends of Blue Monday sponsored Lucy O'Brien, along with Town Forward Izzy Bryan. So we're going to chuck that in now. Rich caught up with the girls regarding the game on Saturday. So we'll put that in now, and then after that, we'll come back and we'll get into the meat and bones of the Saturday game.
Ahead of a big game at Portman Road on Saturday, I'm delighted to welcome two of the stars of this Ipswich Town women's team getting excited about a match on the pitch at Portman Road. Lucy O'Brien, friend of the podcast, of course. We know you very well. And Izzy Bryant, welcome to Blue Monday, making your podcast debut. Izzy, we'll start with you. How's things? And give us your emotions in the kind of lead up to the big one on Saturday.
Yeah, things are well. Things are really exciting. Massive game ahead of us on the weekend. I think history to be made. And to play in front of all the fans that have been there consistently with us, and to get even more, I think it'll be amazing.
Yep, exciting times. Lucy, we've spoken to you many times. I think we may have alluded to the possibility maybe of playing one day at Portman Road, but here we are. How are you feeling? I guess a weekend off as well. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm trying to remember your answer last time. Very professional. I think you wanted games, didn't you? But a weekend off nevertheless.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit in between. I don't mind a weekend off. I think it's a great opportunity to, you know, get a bit of rest, both physically and mentally, ease a few niggles that we might have. But we all love playing matches. So, yeah, always gutted on when I wake up on a Sunday and I realise that we don't have a game. But, yeah, I think it's been a bit different this week, obviously, knowing what's ahead of us. But, yeah, we're all so excited to hit the ground running this week ahead of such an exciting game at the weekend.
Yeah, talk to us about the season so far. Probably, you know, a result last time against Portsmouth, a team that we want to be scrapping with for the top spot, and sadly didn't go our way, but lots of positivity and then an FA Cup run as well. Give us your kind of your take on the season to date.
Yeah, I think naturally it's not been as, you know, as good as we'd hoped in terms of outcomes, but I think some of the work that we've done on the pitch, some of the work we've done in training sessions, some of the passages of play that we've put together, I think it's probably the best that we've managed to do since I've been at the club. So I think, you know, in terms of the work we're doing, the progress we're making, I think it is all really positive. And I think, yeah, the club Ipswich at the moment is such a positive club to be at, both with the men and the women, the way it's progressing, the hopes that we have for the future. And I think, you know, it's fine margins in football and not quite hitting what we want to yet, but I think everything is there to kind of set us up over the next few seasons to really have some success.
Yeah, the wrong end of some worldies in really marginal games has just been really unfortunate. But a good result at Plymouth a few weeks back as well. We'll talk more about the Chatham game as well, because obviously did pretty well at Chatham's place, didn't we, earlier in the season as well. But Izzy, it's weird to kind of describe you as a January window signing, but you are a January window signing. Back from the United States as well, where you've been playing college soccer, I guess. Is it college soccer? Is that how I describe it?
Football.
College football, they good purists as we want. But how's that experience been for you, and then coming back into reintegrating into the squad in January?
I think the experience was amazing. I think it's exactly how it's described in the movies. And it's something, yeah, I loved every moment of it. And I'm glad I did it. But I just don't think I could have done that 4 years. I think I just needed that time to work on my own stuff mentally and physically. You know, get fitter, get stronger, work on specific things in the game, so I can come back to a better level of football and keep up with Ipswich with how they're progressing as well. And I hope to say that I've kept up, and now, yeah, my focus is back on Ipswich again. I knew I was going to come back eventually.
Good stuff. And are you used to playing in front of decent crowds? I know that US college sports generally gets good crowds. The numbers that we're hearing about at the time of recording is about 7,000 for Saturday. Did you get a similar kind of experience in college football as well?
Average is about 900,000 for our games, but yeah.
Okay. but used to maybe a little bit more than maybe we get at the AGL. So good experience there. And coming back into the group as well, has it been like you've never been away or a little bit of change, some new faces to get to know?
Well, I'll be popping back every Christmas, every summer. So I'm still like keeping up with the team. But now being back fully full time, you know, seeing the same faces is great. And then a few new faces that I'm now good friends of as well. And just the team, everyone just gets along so well. It's brilliant to get back into.
Great stuff. Yeah. And to your point, Lucy, before about things growing off the field, you know, that team spirit and all that kind of stuff, we definitely see that as supporters as well. So great to hear that for you, Izzy, as well. We're going to take things back to basics. We've spoken, Lucy, as we said, a few times, but a lot of people for the first time getting to Portman Road and getting to watch the team. So I thought it'd be good to start with, we've got number 11 and number 12 in the right order, I'm thankful to say. Lucy, we'll start with you. Describe your role in the team, the way that you like to play.
Yeah, so I'm a midfielder, primarily more attacking, though at times this season I have been played a bit deeper. But yeah, I like getting on the ball in little pockets. I like driving at the ball when I've got space. I think that's probably my best attribute. I try to be a really creative player in the team, have lots of influence in games, get goals and assists where I can.
I like the drop of the shoulder every now and then as well. Are you two-footed as well, am I right?
I've definitely got a decent left foot. I wouldn't say two-footed, but yeah, okay. Certainly not a weak left foot, I'd say.
Great stuff. And Izzy, what about you?
I'm a right winger. I like being in a space, receiving it, driving at players, being able to cross the ball into the box, hopefully get some attacks, using my speed, hopefully create anything I can. And normally I come on obviously for like the last 20 odd minutes, 30 minutes, hopefully come on with a positive aura, bring that energy into the game with fresh legs. But yeah.
And can you play central as well? Could you play a number 9 if you wanted to be?
Yeah, I used to be a striker for like 10 odd years, so yeah.
Could do that job as well. And both of you, I need to give massive credit here as well. Both ice cool penalty takers as well. We remember the FA Cup ties. Do you remember? Izzy, you went first, didn't you? Or did Lucy? Who went first? I'm trying to remember.
Lucy.
I was
first. But both of you, ice cold in the penalty shootout, I remember as well. Might not come in handy on Saturday, but nevertheless, it's a great attribute to have that calmness when everything around is going crazy as well. Let's get some insights into the rest of the team as well. I've got a few kind of short fire questions on getting to know the rest of the squad. You can both give me a different answer, but ideally it'll be good if you agree. And also if you want to nominate yourselves, also great as well. Who's the most skillful in the team in your opinion?
I think this is quite difficult. I think in terms of technical, I know it's not quite skillful, but technically I'd probably say Bonnie. Like, the ball will be miles up in the air and the way she brings it down is, you know, on a different level. In terms of skillful, I'm not sure. I mean, Pesk has got, she can just wriggle out of every situation, so she's up there. Izzy, what do you think?
I think Lucy could be up there as well.
I do like a good step over and a good shot.
I'd have put you up there, Lucy. You're far too humble and polite to do that, so
I know.
I'm glad Izzy said it, so that's good. Izzy, we'll start with you on this one. Who's the quickest in the team?
Tash.
Yeah.
Peskett, Leah.
There's a few. I'd say, Tash, Peskett, Lena probably. And yeah. Izzy. I mean, I don't think you've done max speed since you've been back from America, but certainly before you went, you were up there. So yeah.
Max speed, is that what it sounds like? You basically stand in front of a speedometer and run really fast, yeah?
We have light gates, yeah. Well, so we wear our GPS and they give us match speed kind of every training, every game. But then we also, at certain points in the season, do 10-meter, 30-meter sprints with light gates.
Okay. Does it get competitive?
Yeah, I think so.
Good. I hope so. Summer, I'd chuck Summer in the mix, maybe?
Yes, she's quick. I mean, commonly it's just stamina. So she probably seems quick when everyone else is just knackered.
That's true.
She keeps going.
She's still dashing in 90 minutes. Yeah, good shout. And I guess that I've spoiled my own questions here. I was going to say, who can run all day? Is that Summer?
Yeah.
Nice and easy one there. Who's got the hardest shot in training? Whose shots are you avoiding getting in the way of? Lucy?
Do you know what? I'd actually say probably Izzy. I think when she strikes the ball sweetly, I don't think anyone can hit it harder. And we saw that with the penalty against Southampton those few years ago, that penalty was struck very fast.
Has he taken that one?
Yeah, also, I think Evie Williams, she's got a hard strike on her body.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Well, it's one all as well, which is good. I'm trying to keep it all square here. Who's getting stuck in? I think there's a shout out for someone we mentioned already, but yeah, is the ball's dropped in centre midfield? It's a bit of a crowd. Is he who's jumping in there and winning the ball back or kicking some people out of the way, maybe?
I think Bonnie can definitely get physical in the middle. Quite a hands-on player.
Yeah.
Lucy, help me out. I don't really know.
I'd say Bonnie and Cara, both the number fours, they have that ability to just come out of a melee with the ball and not quite sure how. But then in training, do you know what I'd actually say? Abby Smith, when she trains, she is just going to go for the ball and she will take you out while she's at it. But well, we love it because her intent is so good.
Yeah, you can't practice that. You just got to keep it sustained. So yeah, training or not, get stuck in there. Who's got the best goal celebration? I think if Ross, producer Ross, is here with his camera, you all run away from him. But who's got the best goal celebration? Is he? You've scored a few. Have you? What would you do? Have you got an Alan Shearer hand in the air or a little bit of a dance? What's going on?
I don't normally celebrate.
No, just like, what do you expect? That's what I do.
To be fair, yeah. When I was in America, I did do the cup of tea.
Okay. The Alex Morgan. Yeah, nice. I like the reversal of that. Lucy, we've got a photo that you've signed for us, some of the Friends of Blue Monday guys from the Northampton game. That's quite a calm, measured celebration. You don't get too excited, do you?
No, I think for me, it very much depends on the game, how it's going, and also the opposition. And I think, you know, an occasion like Saturday, if I was to score, I would probably go a bit crazy. But I think, yeah, normally I'm a bit mellow with it, maybe just a fist bump here and there.
Yeah, a little bit of a... That's what I do, I score goals. To your point then, Lucy, let's finish this with this one, and I think I know the answer. Who's going to be the most up for it? Who's going to be most buzzing to walk out on the pitch at Portman Road on Saturday?
To be honest, I think all of us. I think we're all so excited. I mean, you've probably got the ones who've been there a bit longer. So Tash has been there obviously so long, so she'll probably be well up for it. You know, she probably dreamt of playing at Portman Road when she first played for the women's team back in the day. I would say EK. You know, if she gets the chance to play, then she'll definitely be up for it. Life.
She's going to pitch invade anyway, isn't she?
Yeah, I reckon so. but yeah, I think we're all so excited. We're all going to be really up for it.
Yeah. Is there anyone that you want to lob into the mix? We've got Tash and EK. But it sounds like all of you are pretty excited about Saturday.
I know Lucy's very excited.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
She'd be so good. We're all busy.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, that's exactly how it should be. I mean, to that point, Izzy, just give us a sense from the player's perspective of how significant it is for the club to kind of demonstrate support for you by letting you play at Portman Road. It must be something that you've dreamt of, as Lucy said, and for it to actually happen now, it must be really exciting.
Yeah, I think it's something that, yeah, there's that whole thing all that we want to play in the stadium as well. And like, we watch the men's and Dates playing it every week. So be able to do that, I think also inspires young girls and Ipswich Academy girls, like an aim for them as well. And having that aim to play in the stadium, play in front of big crowds, and the aim is to get the biggest crowd that we can and entertain on the day.
Great stuff. And Lucy, we're going to talk about how integrated the club is, kind of the men's setup and the women's setup. This just kind of further establishes the fact that we're a one club, many teams, one club kind of situation. There's a lot of support for the women's game, and playing at Portman Road is a big example of that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think, you know, just even since I've been at Ipswich, the 4 years now that I've been here, I think we've seen such a growth in everything that the women's team has provided with, from training to games to facilities to nutritional stuff. I think all of it is so positive, and you know, Portman Road has been spoken about for probably a year or two now, and obviously with the pitch last season, it wasn't in the right state to accommodate an extra game, and you know, that's understandable, but obviously they redid it over the summer, so it was spoken about again, and I think there's a bit of excitement. And then yeah, when we found out, I think we were all just really pleased that the club were again showing their kind of plans to further facilitate the women's team going forward. And you know, the aspirations the club has for us is really high, and it's nice to see it being backed up with opportunities like Saturday.
Yeah, great shout. And Izzy, we're recording this at the start of the week, but the club have recently announced 7,000 tickets sold are obviously open for a lot more, nudging up towards that 10K number if we can. Obviously, the season continues after Saturday. Are you hopeful that a lot of people turning up at Portman Road on Saturday will spill over into games at the AGL as well? Because it's a great day out at Felixstowe, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's going to get a lot of people interested. And I think a lot of people are going to be like, they're a very good team. So yeah, I think it's a brilliant opportunity to sort of get showcase ourselves, improve our worth, and hopefully, yeah, just make ourselves like, look good, like we are good, and just showcasing that.
Yep. And the fans make a massive difference, don't they, as well? We mentioned the drums, whether they're your cup of tea or not. That's a conversation for another day. But, you know, in terms of where the team wants to get to, it's not going to be games at Portman Road every week, but it'll be great to get, you know, 1,000 people plus into the AGL, wouldn't it? And really get behind the team.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'll be great. I think having that energy from like the fans, it boosts us as well. And it'll help us play better, and we're playing for them as well. And then again, the ones that have been there since day one, that are still there now, and then hopefully just growing and growing the fan base will be brilliant.
And you talked about inspiring young kids as well, boys and girls. That's something presumably you're really excited to see grow as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep. Lucy, there's four games left to go at home. What's your kind of hopes and aspirations for the rest of the season? We'll talk specifically about, we'll end with thoughts on Saturday's game, but what are you hoping for the rest of the season?
I think we're all just really trying to give a good positive account of ourselves. I think naturally we were a bit disappointed with the way this season kind of unfolded and not being in a title race. Well, we're still in it mathematically probably, but you know, realistically probably not. So I think, yeah, trying to finish the season as strong as we can, really kind of set ourselves up hopefully for a good season next season, and then also just using the next four games to develop in training and in the games, both, you know, on pitch, off pitch, really putting lots of work in, so hopefully, yeah, put us in the best position going into next season.
And do you want to talk about the importance of the fans at the AGL? Obviously really great to get as many people as we can to Portman Road on Saturday, but the season continues at the AGL and some away games as well, which are not too far away, places like rugby and stuff like that. You know, how big is it, a psychological boost, when you turn up at away days or at the AGL and there's Ipswich flags and Ipswich fans there for you?
Yeah, I think it is massive. You know, there is that saying, the 12th man or woman. And I really do think it is a thing. You know, when we've gone to games away before, and I think of Newcastle away all the time, they had 3,500 Newcastle fans and they were all cheering them on in the last few minutes, and it really does kind of take a mental toll on the team that don't have the support. So on the flip side, when you do have that support, it can be a massive gain. I think our fans at the AGL this season have been brilliant. You and Megan's dad on the drum as well, with all the singing along, you know, it really does help. And yeah, like Izzy was saying, hopefully this Saturday is a great chance to inspire some new people who might not have seen us before. And yeah, hopefully get some more numbers at home, and then, you know, build on the incredible away support that we already have.
Yeah, good shout. Izzy, we need to remember that there is two teams that take to the pitch on Saturday, Chatham as well, actually fighting for their league survival, aren't they, as well? What's your take on them as an opponent?
Chatham, I think, even though they might be lower in their table, they're still a good team, play good football. And I think it doesn't matter who we play against. I think we need to focus on how we're going to play, playing the football that we know. You know, it's our game, make sure that we're the ones in control. And I think it doesn't matter the team, where they're on the table. I think the aim on that day is to win the game, showcase ourselves, be good, play good football. And yeah, especially on the field as well, where it's nice grass, the goal is massive pitch. I think it's a great opportunity to do that, and we can play that football that we want to play.
What's the... Have we figured out the difference in dimensions between the AGL and the Portman Road pitch? Presumably, apart from it being a bit flatter, hopefully. Is it a lot bigger, Izzy? Is it your crossfield passes need a little bit more pace on them?
Yeah, I think, let's say summer, we'll probably be dead at the end of the game.
Yep, good to know. Yeah, we'll look out for summer substitutions. I've rarely seen summer get subbed, so yeah, we'll keep a lookout for that one. Yeah, Lucy, you mentioned kind of the opposite effect in terms of the crowd situation. You've probably been in situations yourself as a player where you are the underdog or you are the away team and in a kind of a bit of a cauldron or an atmosphere. And presumably, you know, in those situations, you want to take the game to the opposition. You want to kind of spoil the day. So you kind of have to be prepared for Chatham wanting to get one over on us, haven't you?
Yeah, of course. And you could look at it as though we have nothing to play for where they have everything. So they're going to be well up for it. You know, it's not just a big occasion for us. It's a big occasion for them. And yeah, I'm sure they'll be coming to Portman Road and they'll be looking to get 3 points, looking to spoil our fun. So yeah, we'll have to be on our best to beat them.
But all being well, it should go swimmingly. We know that you guys like to play football. We know that the Portman Road pitch probably is the perfect place to showcase that. We're really excited. The drum will be there, whether you like it or not. But hopefully, thousands of town fans getting behind you. I hope you have the best day on Saturday. I hope the result goes your way as well. But enjoy it. Hopefully it's the start of many games. And thank you for speaking with us. Thank you for giving us your time.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You win. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
A great video there, obviously, Rich. And interesting that the girls and you talk about how used to they are to the AGL pitch. Saturday's going to be a little bit different, isn't it? On a much bigger pitch, in a much bigger venue. What are your initial thoughts of this game? It's been a long time coming, and this is a huge, huge deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's difficult to kind of understate how meaningful this is in lots of different ways. It's not just the fact that this is a really great Ipswich Town team that gets to play on the pitch of Portman Road, having played at Felixstowe for the majority of our history, but it's getting people to watch them and realize, as you did at Plymouth, that this is a team that plays the game in the right way. It's a young team. We'll talk about average age, 21 of this squad, and they've earned it, and I'm so delighted for them. But yeah, it's going to be a different experience. There's a little bit of undulation at Felixstowe. Definitely the quality of the grass not so great, not to badmouth Felixstowe, who've been really great hosts. But yeah, it's actually quite a different challenge, isn't it? And you kind of wonder, are they going to have to change the way they play maybe to kind of deal with a longer, wider pitch? It's going to be interesting.
Do you think the AGL, obviously the women's team have played at the AGL for so long now, do you think that goes in their favour sometimes? I've personally never watched them at the AGL, but is that sort of familiarity and that pitch, is that part of their arsenal, so to speak, when they get sides coming in? And I guess maybe the game at Portman Road might be a little bit of a leveler. They'll lose that natural home advantage.
Maybe against, I mean, again, no disrespect to Chatham, who we're going to talk about, but probably a team in the type of form that you'd want to face at Portman Road for kind of an exhibition match like this. I mean, it's a league match. We need to make that clear, but Chatham are really struggling, and we'll talk more about that later on. Again, against Portsmouth and Oxford, hashtag, you're right. It might be that the familiarity of the AGL you know, it's a competitive advantage that they lose. And I think that's important as well. A lot of people have been talking about, oh, let's get them into Portman Road and all that kind of stuff. And I think to grow the club, to grow the fan base, particularly longer term, Felixstowe is not the right place to be. But actually, for games that matter, particularly against the better teams, you know, FA Cup ties against higher league opposition, bringing them to the AGL, really tight. I mean, if you think Portman Road is tight compared to other stadia, the AGL is another level. You're right there. You can hear the players talking. You can talk to the players, whether they like that or not sometimes. The drum gets heard. It's a very different experience. So, yeah, I think Saturday for me is kind of more about making a statement about the future direction of the club. But we're back to the AGL end of the month, April time, and still have games to play there. And it'd be great that folk get down there and they'll see a different experience, certainly.
What we'll do is let's talk Chatham briefly, and then I'll hand over to you to kind of give us a complete lowdown of the ITC women's team, because you are obviously the expert. So Chatham were previously Gillingham Women. They're not affiliated in any way to the men's side. Finished seventh in the league last season, so a much better kind of timeout last season than they're having this year. They actually did beat Ipswich Town Women 2-1 at the AGL in August 2022. Town won the reverse game there in March 2023 as part of their 10-match winning run towards the end of the season. They are affiliated, no affiliation to Gillingham, like I said. They are affiliated to Chatham Town men's team, who play in the Isthmian Premier League. They're second in the league. They're a good bet for a playoff spot. That's all you're going to get, I'm afraid, on the opposition this week. And now the main body will be discussing ITFC women. So, Rich, talk to me about this season. A couple of years really challenging towards the top of the season. Maybe a bit more of a transitional year this year. How are they currently doing?
One of struggle. Joe Sheehan is openly talked in a couple of interviews that the club have put out through Town TV. A change of personnel. I think he described it as 550 collective appearances for the players that departed the club in the summer versus 20 appearances for the players that came in. So it was always going to be a bit of a changing of the guard. We mentioned the youth in the team. Actually, players that have been featuring for the club for quite a while are still 20, 21. We spoke to Lucy and Izzy Bryant, that, you know, both under 20. Summer Hughes around that age as well. Eloise King, a name that a lot of people will be familiar with. She's only 21. Maria Boswell, captain's only 21. So this is a young team. I think probably the rest of the league, for lots of different logistical reasons that I think we've spoken to Joe Sheehan about on the podcast. I definitely recommend checking the chat out that we had with Joe earlier in the year. For lots of reasons, teams who are doing much better in the league this season have been able to recruit that experience, and we just don't have, Seb, the players between the age of 25, 28, which are kind of peak players. So it is a very young squad, and therefore in marginal games where there's a bit of physicality, we've dropped points just because, you know, that experience, that nous sometimes being a bit streetwise, it is third tier football. There are teams, and I would probably describe Chatham in a previous incarnation as Gillingham, as a very in-your-face physical team. And we are very much about the fundamentals. We play the Ipswich way. And sometimes I guess you could question whether that's naive against certain teams. And, you know, Portsmouth, for example, last time out, 4-2 defeat, just bullied us, really. And I think the team will be better for the experience of this season, but it's a fifth place at the moment. Hopefully you'll be slightly higher, a fifth out of 12 teams in the FA Women's National League, Southern Premier League. We've won just over half of our games, which is good. Only drawn twice, but lost five. But plus 30 goal difference, Seb. When we're on our game, we put teams to the sword, and hopefully Saturday will be an instance of that. But form very patchy in the last five. Two losses, two wins and a draw.
We've already touched on Chatham and explained kind of how they're not having the best of seasons. They currently find themselves second bottom in the league. They're winless, aren't they? Played 18 games, haven't won a single one so far this season. Is it London Bees that are below them in the league? There's two winless sides, aren't there, in the league this season. Their recent form, they've lost four of the last five. They drew last time out, but they took MK Dons quite close recently, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Dons needed a 92nd minute winner, and they've been a pretty decent MK have progressed this season. And that draw, by the way, was the kind of bottom of the table clash against London Bees, by the way. So a one-all draw there. So they at least got a point off each other. But yeah, Bees have only got 3 points. That's three draws. And Chatham, yeah, yet to taste victory. Six draws they've got so far.
And two sides go down, don't they? So they're both banging relegation trouble, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess Bees have already gone. But Actually, Saturday could be the end of Chatham at this level as well. It's crazy to think, because last season, the Gillingham team that they were before in their previous incarnation were pretty solid, good mid-table outfit. And to see them now, a lot of turnaround, a lot of issues off field. The affiliation was quite late in the day as well, managerial changes, etc. But essentially, I think it's 11 points to 10th with 12 to play, including Saturday, which means they need to win all of their games and hope that Billericay or Plymouth lose all of theirs. And let's be honest, that's unlikely. So a Town win, I think, pretty much makes relegation inevitable for Chatham on the weekend, which is kind of a sad outcome for such kind of a positive situation for Ipswich.
Very much so. I mean, talk to us about the last time out then. So obviously it was a chastening defeat, and maybe to go away to Pompey at top of the league, for the fans who might not necessarily follow the Women's game that close.
Yeah, Pompey are probably going to go up. They're 5 points clear at the moment, having played a game less than hashtag in second. They've only lost once all season. It's kind of Ipswich Town 22-23 kind of form for them. They've just got the players of the right age, Seb, experience, a little bit more physicality, and they score all types of goals. I think we are quite purist in the way that we go about things, try to get our good passages of play, but Pompey will hit a free kick or they'll hit a shot from range. That's what did us in the two consecutive games that folk might remember us talking about earlier in the year, when they beat us in the cup and then beat us in the league 2 weeks running. And it was long range goals, speculative efforts that won them the games in those. And it just could have felt like it was, I was going to say women against girls, but it was kind of that, a little bit more physicality. Town did well to get in the game at various stages, but realistically, Pompey well-deserved winners. And good luck to them, I guess. It's sad to see them in the situation that we were hoping to be in ourselves.
And disappointing last time out against Pompey, but last time out against Chatham, a big, big victory. 6-1, wasn't it, in October 2023? Talk us through that one quickly.
Yeah, 4-0 up at half-time, Seb, and one of the few away days I've done this season with the drum successfully.
I was going to say, were you banned from banging the drum, or did they allow it?
We were bloody noisy, I shall say. It didn't go down particularly well. I think pretty much we outnumbered them, but close. Ipswich's away support is pretty unique at this level. I think Oxford and Portsmouth, probably two teams that also boast similar levels of away support. And we were just, noisy, got right behind the team and bossed it from minute one all the way to the end. A little bit of a disappointment. Ruby Doe, who we'll talk about, got sent off. She was hacked down. Referee didn't really penalise it. And she took exception to the player that fouled her as she was getting up and got a straight red card, which is a little bit harsh in the circumstances. But Town bossed it. Natasha Thomas got a brace. Goals also for Gunning Williams, Horwood, Peskett, and Nia Evans as well, who hasn't featured too much, is out on loan at the moment. And Breon Grant scored the goal for Chatham, their best player, according to my minimal research on Chatham. And she's recently joined AFC Wimbledon, so she won't be featuring at the weekend, which is another thing in our favour, I guess.
Joe Sheehan's come out today and done a bit of a pre-match presser. A guy that you've spoken to a couple of times. He's celebrated 5 years in charge of the women's team, which is a phenomenal milestone. He's got a win ratio of roughly 70%. How good is Joe Sheehan, and how much has he kind of, changed the ICC women's side since he took over?
Yeah, I've got to know him a little bit over the last few years. A pleasure to speak to him about football. Someone who's got a clear philosophy. Someone who I think has really benefited and bounced off ideas that Kieran McKenna has put in place for the men's team as well in the last few years. And someone who's got a vision for this club, a vision for youth football in the area as well. Someone who's done a lot of hard work, certainly for Essex County, but wants great things for this club. And, maybe a little bit underrated, goes under the radar perhaps nationally. I think maybe a little bit underappreciated. You'd celebrate 5 years in charge and maybe people think, oh, he's been around for a while, and get a bit bored. But I think Joe goes about things the right way. I said, mitigating circumstances a little bit in terms of the personnel at his disposal, but never compromises on the way that we want to play. Maybe that's sometimes to a fault, but really proud to see what he's doing for this club, and a massive part of what ITFC Women's about on and off the pitch. Worked really hard, so great to see Rachel Harris come in and support him in the GM role. But a lot of time for Joe. And I think you mentioned a few stats. His goal difference, I think, is nearly around plus 300. Probably take a little bit of a setback, but stats are amazing.
Absolutely crazy. Nearly 70% win ratio and a goal difference of nearly 300. Absolutely phenomenal job he's done there. In the opposition dugout for Chatham, you're looking at Keith Bonus. I'm going to go for. 64-year-old appointed after the 6-1 previous game in October 2023 between the two sides. Bonus has had spells working at Charlton, Millwall Lionesses, who he joined for a few months in mid-2023, Watford, and the Estonian national team, where he was in charge for 7 years. So, yeah, a bit of experience. Kind of two ends of the spectrum, isn't it? You've got Joe, who has celebrated kind of 5 years, but he's still relatively new in the role, versus Keith Bonus, who's kind of 64 years old and has kind of been around the block a little bit.
Yeah, and really highly thought of as well, Keith Bonus. I don't know a great deal about him, and I'm going to do what the BBC seem to do to me every time I speak to them and oust him on his age, 64. So a little bit of the different end of the spectrum for Joe, who's in his 30s, disgustingly. So, different ends of their careers, but very highly experienced. And I guess probably quite frustrated that he's not managed to turn around their form there. I'm sure if he'd started in the summer and they'd, you know, as you mentioned, they had a few interim managers before he came in as well. I think he might have been able to have a better fist of the season, but sadly, coming partway through, some of the damage had already been done.
Right, well, it wouldn't be the pre-match show without a little bit of pluggery, so forgive me going through the next couple of bullet points. We are, of course, brought to you in partnership with our good friends at the Greyhound Pub. It was great to be back there for me last Saturday. First time in a few months I managed to get there. Great to see the beer garden full of so many people. It's open as usual from midday this weekend coming, so make sure you get yourselves down there before kickoff. The usual menu is out and the usual suspects will be there in one of the pods. So make sure you get down there in plenty of time. Say hello to everybody. It really is the best pre-match venue in the town, without doubt.
Especially landlord Dan, whose birthday will be on Saturday.
Oh, there you go. If you see Dan, wish him a happy birthday. We sung a happy birthday for somebody last week, didn't we? So maybe somebody can continue that trend going this week. NordVPN, as always, we are brought to you. We have a partnership with NordVPN. There'll be a description in the link below. I don't really understand what this stuff
does. Description in the link.
This is why Rich is here.
It's in the link. Link in
NordVPN will protect you online. I mean, I'm talking over you. I'm the host. I can do what I like. I'm doing what you do. If I talk over you, eventually you'll give up. NordVPN protects your online presence so you can use it to go shopping, get the best deals on flights and that kind of stuff. And there's a description down below. Just click on it because you'll save a bit of money. And I'm sure somehow Blue Monday gets some sort of recognition from the NordVPN people. Nick Ames' interview is out now. It dropped on Tuesday evening. Rich has had a sit down with our resident ITFC expert. Nick Ames is also in our Telegram group. Another reason to come and join Telegram, discussing the state of all things ITFC. That's out tonight down the main pod feed. So be sure to give that a check out. Flagship will be back as usual, reflecting on the women's game and kind of a general state of play for ITFC going into these last 8 or 9 games. Rich is back in the host chair. Dave and Joe are joining him. So a bit of women's chat and then kind of the state of play and a bit of a Q&A for the upcoming remainder of the... Well, it's the running now, isn't it? Yeah, officially the running.
It's the running.
For the business end, the running of the season. Next week, things will be a little bit different. We're playing on Good Friday, obviously. So me and Rich will flip screen positions back. I'll do my usual research and the pre-match show will be out next Wednesday, live at 8 p.m. as normal, usual places, but it'll be next Wednesday instead of next Thursday, given the game is 24 hours later.
Can I, in terms of Saturday, just very briefly before we start talking about Saturday again, if you want more information about what's happening, the club will be tweeting lots of stuff, but the women's club does have an official supporters club. It's ITFC WRC. If you want more information, give them a follow. We'll be tweeting, posting all kinds of stuff about the fan zone will be open. If you want to get involved in chanting, what the players' chants are, all of that kind of stuff will go down the ITFC WRSC social feed. So go and give them a follow and for more information about how to get involved and get singing on Saturday. Sorry, Seb, keep going.
No problem. Right, so we've dealt with Chatham a little bit. We've dealt with the managers, etc. Let's talk about the players that the people in the ground are going to be seeing on the weekend. We've heard in so many AGMs over the last few years about instilling this kind of philosophy throughout the club in terms of playing styles. So they want the same playing styles from the under-21s, the academy sides, the women's side, the men's side. What can people expect to see when they turn up at Pullman Road on Saturday?
Well, to do my best Seb Brown impression... 4-2-3-1 system, Seb. Everyone's bloody playing that. And it is almost identical in terms of philosophy. So left back will bomb on, have a lot more space. The left winger is actually more of a forward, so he will tuck in and will pass out from the back. Keeper, very much part of that, maybe to a lesser extent than Hladky does. But the same philosophy is very much visible and will be on display on Saturday, playing out from the back. Passages of play through the midfield, out to the wide players, forward drops in and looks to support the play, and the attacking players get beyond the forward as well. So very, very familiar.
And who are going to be the star players to keep an eye out for? Give us a rundown of who you think either will play or who are the names to really look out for. I mean, from my very brief kind of time watching, I went to the Plymouth away game a few weeks ago, and for me, Sophie Pesca really stood out that day. Natasha Thomas, we always know, gets the headlines for all the goals, but who are the key players to look out for on Saturday?
I'm going to take a big deep breath, and I'm going to see if I can name check everyone in the squad as quickly as I can, and I'll try and flag the key players as we go. So keeper will be Laura Hartley in goal, 23-year-old former Norwich Academy, a lot of ex-Norwich Academy graduates in the squad, but Laura Hartley will be the starter. Poppy Soper is a name that people might be familiar with, was on loan from Charlton, but she was recalled, which means that Nina Miolo, who'd been on loan at Cambridge City, 19-year-old keeper who's impressed on loan there, and has actually got a call-up for the Philippines national side, she'll be the backup. And both of them are used to that kind of playing out from the back style. So expect them to have a lot of the ball at feet. Fullback, the Leif Davis of the ITFC women team is Summer Hughes, who actually can play either side. I got her age wrong earlier. She's only 20. She will run all day. We heard Lucy and Izzy talk about Summer. She will be up and down, as you expect, in that role. And on the Ryan side, a little bit of doubt about Maisie Barker, who's been injured of late. Only 21, she's came from West Ham. Little bit of a shift around. Maria Boswell, who's the captain, has been playing centre-back, can play wide right. Or youngster Leah Mitchell, only 18, also can play. They're quite tall, but all of them very comfortable with the ball at their feet. Need to talk about the skipper, Maria Boswell. She took over the armband since December when Blue Wilson left the club. Very calm, very consistent. And a really strong leader for the group. So keep a lookout for her. She'll be leading the team out, obviously, down the tunnel. Evie Williams might be involved as well. Another youngster, quite imposing stature for someone so young. Again, quite confident on the ball, but probably unlike the others that I've mentioned, Leah's got the height, but Evie's got the physicality, so won't be afraid of getting stuck in there. Some people might be aware of Megan Waring as well. She's last season's player of the season. Sadly, she's been out since the turn of the year with a back injury, so...
Right, okay. And we've already mentioned Bonnie Hallward. She's kind of the midfield sitter, previous WSL experience, am I right?
Yeah, a good number of top-tier and top-level clubs, Fulham, Chelsea, Birmingham, North County, to name just a few. And yeah, she will feature probably... it might be... Joe might mix it up. Given an exhibition game, but not a game where we want to... It's not an exhibition game, but a game where we want to kind of show the best of ourselves and attack the opposition. It might be that Joe wants to drop one of his number 10s back into central midfield. There isn't a huge amount of choice there. So Bonnie has played of late, but I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Lucy O'Brien or Ruby Doe, we'll talk about them in a sec, drops in. The other central midfielder who's guaranteed to start, assuming she's fully fit and there's no reason to think she isn't, is Kaya Robertson, one of the star players of the season, Seb. Just keeps the ball ticking over, very Sam Morsey-esque, as some people might have heard her described as that in her co-com's job on Town TV a few weeks ago. But yeah, really solid player, really intelligent. Again, one of the talkers, leaders on the pitch as well as Maria Boswell. So yeah, keep a lookout for number 8, Kyra Robertson. There's a couple of loanies in central mid that you might see. Millie Broughton and Elke Bo, you're both on loan from Spurs. Eloise King, I'm going to the games every week. I've got to know her folks who I hope are listening and watching. And we're really hoping that she can make an appearance as well. See, Ipswich Town through and through. She sits in Block A every Saturday, Seb, and sings the chants and gets involved there. A huge, massive part of this squad, a really popular player, has been sadly unavailable for a good chunk of the season due to injury. But it'd be great to get some kind of minutes. So I'm keeping everything crossed for her.
And then the attacking options. I've already mentioned Sophie Pesca. We've mentioned Natasha Thomas. Who are we going to look out for at the top end of the pitch?
In the attacking position, you mentioned Sophie Pesca, so give your reflections on Pesca.
I thought she was the standout performer. I've only seen the one game at Plymouth, but I see what you mean where you say they play very much like the men's side. She was kind of playing on the right wing, and she looks to really run at her opposition fullback and kind of get to the byline, pull the ball across. She got into the box a couple of times as well and got shots off. So for me, she seemed to be the star player by far on that day, I thought.
Yeah, agree with that. And assists and scores, 11 goals in her 22 league, 22 appearances in all comps. On the other side, it will be Leonard Gunning-Williams, who's another Spurs loanee. Again, only 19, but 13 goals in all comps for her. She will notionally play on that left-hand side in the kind of Nathan Broadhead role, but is more of a forward, so might drift more central. And obviously that makes space for Summer Hughes to bomb on. But she's a really bright prospect and has had a really fantastic season with us here at ITFC. We talked about Lucy. She obviously described herself as kind of that number 10 and marauding, likes to drop the shoulder, tricky player. So she can play in the number 10 role. But Ruby Doe has been picked there of late. She's on loan from Arsenal. She's got 6 goals in 19 appearances, scored against Portsmouth. So I'd probably expect her to start. So across the left, the right, Gunning Williams, Doe and Peskett.
And talk to us then, the GOAT, you've labelled her in the script, the headline act, Natasha Thomas, 28-year-old now, 20 goals so far and 23 appearances in all comps this season. She's just a machine at this level for goal scoring, isn't she?
Yeah, we spoke to Tash earlier in the year as well. Great to speak to her at the interview. And you can find that on our podcast feed and our YouTube feed, and just sets records. She's now surpassed 200 appearances for the club. Only the third player to do that, and is nearing, I think, if she gets a hat trick, she might be there or thereabouts for 150 goals, Seb, which is just unbelievable, and had a great scoring campaign this time around as well. Yeah, 15 in the league, I think it is, which is the second top scorer in the league. So she'll be leading the line. Behind her might be another option is Izzy Bryant, who we spoke to as well. Used more as a right-sided player, might come on for Pesk. Sorry for using player abbreviations and nicknames. It's more common in the women's, following the women's team. Sophie Peskett, if she's withdrawn, Izzy might play there, but Izzy can also play up front, and keep a lookout for that fearsome shot that Lucy was talking about as well. There is kind of a weird bit of Ipswich Chatham interest with Holly Turner, who's an Ipswich player but on loan at Chatham, obviously won't be able to feature this weekend, but has impressed for Chatham and was their player of the month in February, but sadly for her, won't be able to feature on Saturday. I wonder whether she'll be wearing Ipswich benchwear or Chatham benchwear, Seb. Not too sure.
You'd go neutral, wouldn't you? You wouldn't get involved between you.
Maybe so.
It'd be like if the men's side drew Chelsea in the cup, I'd like to think Amari Hutchinson would be sat in the stand in just a regular hoodie and not showing his affiliation. Any players standing out for Chatham before we wrap it all up?
I mentioned Breon Grant, who'd got 8 goals but has gone. They've made a couple of signings, Lois Colley and Carisha Wrighton, who I don't know anything about, really. Ellie Jeffkins scored the goal. I forgot to mention the goal they scored against London Beast, and for that draw was a penalty as well. So
right.
I think she might be their top assist maker as well. So Ellie Jeffkins, Lottie Sharp. But yeah, I'm not going to pretend I know a huge amount about Chatham. And to be honest, if we're honest, Seb, Saturday is about Ipswich, whatever the outcome, really. It's about the future. And hopefully, as you said, we mentioned it a few times, Norwich got about 7,500 for their first game at Carrow Road. If we get 8,000 or more, that is just a huge endorsement for what Joe, Rachel and the team is doing. So please get behind them. Please get involved. If you're thinking of turning up on the day, I don't think you can pay on the turnstile. You have to buy your tickets from the club, but I think they'll be on sale right up to kickoff. So please get involved. It means so much to the team. We heard Lucy and Izzy talk about it. We've heard the skipper, Maria Boswell, will talk about it, Joe as well. And as a fan, Seb, as a season ticket holder for the last 2 years, I just can't wait to see this team on the biggest stage for Ipswich Town, isn't it? Portman Road. Something we all dream of. So I'm excited for them, and I'm excited to bang the drum and make a load of din in support of them as well.
It's phenomenal. It's been a long time coming. You know, it's been discussed for the last few years, and there were issues with the pitch previously, and Mark Ashton was always very transparent in the AGMs and said, as soon as we get a decent pitch, we'll look at doing it. And that moment has now arrived this coming Saturday. And yeah, I think it's a brilliant, brilliant occasion. 7,000 tickets sold so far is really good going. Of course, we will beat that lot up the road, obviously. We'll be going for over 8,000. And like you said, it's a real chance now for people who've probably never seen the women's side play, probably have no idea what to expect. Hopefully they can go along now, enjoy themselves, and that will then see a bit of a boost for whoever the next game is at the AGL in a couple of weekends' time. It's going to be a brilliant moment for the girls, and obviously we wish them the very, very best of luck. I think that just about wraps us up. Have you got anything else you want to add before we do the usual pluggery and sign-offs?
Thank you for hosting so eloquently, so well.
Apart from when you corrected my grammar, yeah, brilliant.
Apart from when you called them Chatham and Haring, whatever it was, but no, really enjoyed that. I hope folk have found that useful as well. If you want to find out more, as I mentioned, the Women's Official Supporters Club, give them a follow on socials. Telegram, we actually have a women's subgroup as well, chat group over there. A lot of good discussion there. And you can still get tickets for the rest of the season as well. So MK Dons, I mentioned, 7th of April. Sunday 2 p.m. at the Felixstowe as well. Lots more content coming from the club as well, but yeah, really excited. And I think probably the key thing that Joe mentioned in his press conference is worth repeating as well is this is about the next generation of football. Is this about young girls, even young boys as well, being inspired by this team? If you can't see it, you can't be it. And that's really core to why the club is doing this on Saturday. So I hope folk have found this useful. I've enjoyed providing and giving all of my 2 years worth of Ipswich Town Women supporting knowledge in a podcast. And yeah, hopefully see plenty of you on Saturday as well.
Well said. I'll do a couple of usual plugger in and I'll pass to you for the final sign off. As we said, get yourselves to the Greyhound, open from midday on Saturday, like a normal match day. Get yourselves down there to the beer garden for some food and drink before the match. Get yourself a NordVPN to protect yourself online and cover up your IP address, whatever it is you want to do on the internet. Flagship back on Sunday night with Rich back in the host chair, Dave. And Joe, bit of a roundup of this game coming against Chatham and then a State of the Union kind of thing for ITFC going into the last few games. Join ourselves on Telegram. As Rich just said, we have an ITFC women's group, which if you're like me and you're kind of following from afar and you can't really kind of, you know, get to grips with getting there on a regular basis and wanting to learn more about it, it's a great little group to be part of. Nick Ames' interview, one of our Telegram group, is out now. Get yourselves along to our YouTube feed. See that. As always, give us a like and a subscribe on your, give us a review on your podcast app of choice. I can't wait to go back to sitting in the contributor.
It's not easy, is it?
No, it's horrible. I hate this. This is rubbish. I'm never doing this ever again.
I'll let you do the final bit as well because you did it last week, didn't you? And
no, you have to do it. No, it's ITC Women. You do that. So right. I will say goodbye. Thank you to you for your research this week for doing the script. It's a welcome week off for me. Thank you for that. And I will let you take us out.
Thanks, everyone, for watching. Come on, you Blues!
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.